think we should give the Pharisees a break, that they were blinded. They missed the point sometimes, but I think also they were trying to do something productive, which is let us make this law accessible. Let us make it understandable.
Welcome back to Study with Friends, a weekly dive into the questions and answers we find in the Bible, the church, and the broader Christian faith. I'm Paige, and today we are continuing our study of the Sermon on the Mount. The format for this study is different in that it's an 8-week program with 5 daily segments designed to help you take a much deeper dive into Jesus' words and their application for your life. This is currently week 5, but you can find the previous week's recordings, the homework, and many more resources all on our website, studywithfriends.org.
Day 4 of week 5, we are trucking along through intense scripture. You guys are holding up so well. I know you're probably exhausted because this is really deep stuff. And we're really, our cadence is not cool because we're going way too fast through passages that have so much depth. But the goal is that we do enough with them that you take some practical things that you can live out as kingdom dwellers. That's the purpose of this study. So we are necessarily skimming the surface in some ways, just trying to pull maybe some fresh insights, maybe some practical applications, and for sure the best we can do of an understanding of what Jesus was trying to accomplish with this passage and the larger context of the sermon. What is he saying? We've talked each day about how really these passages stand on the shoulders of verses 17 to 20, where Jesus said, I didn't come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. And again, what he's really doing here is, we said yesterday, he's closing some loopholes and he's really doubling down on what it means to be obedient and righteous and to follow the law in a Christ-honoring, kingdom-dwelling way. It's harder than we want it to be. So we want to unpack it and understand how we can practically make it through God's help, through his spirit, by his strength, not our own, for sure. To that end, while we were on the break, Cheryl said something really great. It's a little bit of a cap on yesterday, but I think it's really useful to the entirety of this week and actually to the rest of the sermon as we examine these very granular instructions and prohibitions. And you were talking a little bit about how the progression happens. Would you just say that again now that the rest of the world can hear it?
It's so clear to me from looking at these, there is a progression, and it all starts in our heart. And when we're not paying attention to that, we keep moving further and further away until we get into, you know, a seed of anger ends up in murder, or contempt for our spouse ends up in divorce. Like it's a progression, and God, all through scripture, especially in the New Testament, since he's wanting to clean the inside of the cup. And if we keep focusing on the outside of the cup and not let him transform, there isn't a way that we divert that. And we end up in, you know, in dangerous places. And the marriage is beautiful. The relationships with people are beautiful, but we ruin them by not asking God to transform us at the minutest level. And we think we can tolerate that. Yeah. We think we can handle that. You know, I married a Christian guy. Good enough. That's a check. You know, that's going to end in disaster if every day I'm not trying to be selfless and asking God to transform me in that relationship. And so that's really the small piece that he's calling all of us to, and how disaster it can be when we just think it doesn't matter, or I can just live in a big checkbox thing. Yeah, it doesn't.
Yeah. It's like ignoring a drip. My dad's 88, probably a year. He heard a drip in his wall. And he told us once the calamity happened, he's like, you know, I had been hearing. Right? Example. So that's a great example. Like he's ignoring that dripping and it becomes a calamity, which cost him a lot more money to repair. And it was painful. So it was painful. Let's leave it at that. And that's how it works. So I really loved that you said that, you know, you were reflecting on that during the break. And I was like, yeah, that's a reflection that's worthy of restating. So thanks.
And he hasn't come to condemn. He's come to set us free. And that's the beauty of all this, that we don't, he's done the work and we can walk in that.
So. Yeah. It was interesting when you said it ends in disaster. In my heart, I was like, it ends in pain. And so to what you just said, he's trying to save us from that pain.
Exactly. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks for that little cap on the whole thing. It's great because today is day 4, so it's a retro and proactive of what we're talking about even in just this week. So This day's study text is Matthew 5, 33 to 37. And your Bible might say something at the top like oaths, but really this is about living truthfully, living honestly. So Ryan, would you read that passage for us? And then we're going to have Eva look at the core passage that he's referencing. We're gonna chew on it a little bit.
Again, you have heard that it was said to those of old, "You shall not swear falsely, but shall perform your oaths to the Lord. But I say to you, do not swear at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, nor by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Nor shall you swear by your head, because you cannot make one hair white or black. But let your yes be yes, and your no be no. For whatever is more than these is from the evil one."
Okay. So because of the fact that it was so on the nose in some previous passages where Jesus was referencing one of the Ten Commandments, what we've done with the ones where that's not the case is we're looking up the passage that he's referencing when he says, "You have heard." So in this case, that passage is Deuteronomy 23, verses 21 to 23. So would you read that for us, Eva? Sure.
"If you make a vow to the Lord your God, you shall not delay fulfilling it, for the Lord your God will surely require it of you, and you will be guilty of sin. But if you refrain from vowing, you will not be guilty of sin. You shall be careful to do what has passed your lips, for you have voluntarily vowed to the Lord your God what you have promised with your mouth."
Okay, so what's the command in your verse? What's, just sum it up.
If I had to paraphrase, I'd say, be sure to keep your promises and don't make promises you can't keep.
Okay, perfect. So then let me come back. It's great. There's sometimes less is more. So, but if you take what she just said and apply it to your text, Ryan, how is Jesus expanding on what Eva said, which was, I think, an appropriate paraphrase of the Deuteronomy passage?
It's like, I don't even know how to make this my own words.
Well, let's like, take a hard look at verse 37, because I think there's a really good hint there.
Yeah. Just like the Lord places a lot of emphasis on like our honesty. Like if we're going to commit to something, like before him and before people, because before people, he's here. He hears what we say to others. Like then we should go through with our word. And if we're going to say no, then that's the answer. Like, it stirs up confusion when you're not honest with people.
Yes.
And it just causes problems. And
I love what you just said. It stirs up confusion. Mm-hmm. So let me zero in on that if I can. What was happening here contextually from the people of the time was similar to, I'm going to tell you, you've heard this a million times. No, I promise. So I told you something and you doubted me. And I was like, no, I promise. I promise. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you the truth. I'm using extra words to affirm that I really am telling you the truth. And there's something here that's underneath that. What is that? What's underneath that?
Deceit.
A culture of dishonesty.
Yes. Yeah.
Right? Yes. Yes. That culturally, we expect each other not to be honest. Mm-hmm. That's true here too. Mm. That's what he's addressing. That oaths became like this complicated, you have to say it in a certain way, and I know that by this and that, by that. And the reason that existed at all was because the culture was dishonest. Mm-hmm. And so you were affirming that you were telling the truth because you were expected to not be telling the truth. And that's a sinful brokenness that still exists mm-hmm. today. But I want to put that context here because it's like, what is he really talking about? Mm-hmm. So that's really what an oath is. That's why he's talking about oaths and what he's juxtaposing here. And of course, you know, the Pharisees loved to say, okay, well, it's really true if you say it like this. And so let me put that in present day context too. Let's never forget our target here, which is the law. I don't know if you know, but like we have, of course, you know, we have like the Constitution, but then we have this whole legal system. And there are more books and volumes with precedents and addendums and exceptions, and then there are courts who decide how we interpret those laws. And so we are in the same situation where the laws are not as plain and people have added to them to try to clarify them. And so the Pharisees get a bad rap, but that is what they were trying to do. They were trying to really honor what they understood from the scripture and be sure to be clarifying that for the everyman. So like, I'm not a lawyer, I don't think any of you guys are lawyers. I actually don't know what Cheryl does for a living, so I have to say that caveat. I know what you guys are. If I were in a legal jam, I would have to go to a professional who would mm-hmm. be able to pull for me all of the ways that this law has been interpreted since the time it was laid down. And that person would be my advocate and would help me. I think we should give the Pharisees a break, that they were blinded. They missed the point sometimes, but I think also they were trying to do something productive, which is let us make this law accessible. Let us make it understandable. And so this is kind of part of that, that the recognition that people are dishonest and a remedy. But Jesus is just bringing it down, boiling it down, right? He's like, just say yes or no and be a person who is always trustworthy. Mm-hmm. So does that help? In the context of this one's a little bit harder. Like you say, don't get divorced. You understand that. Don't murder people. We understand that. But this one's a little tricky if you don't understand what the deal was with oaths. And I think it's important to understand from the time and also to really make it relatable to what's happening. We do it. It happens. So it's this is what is helpful for us.
I think we find in our normal speech, we don't even realize we're doing it.
That's
so
right.
many people,
That's right.
you know, they start every sentence, well, to be honest, it's like, okay, so you weren't honest before? Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. it's just
yeah,
in
it's,
us.
It's complicated because we want to be taken seriously. We want to be heard. We want to be respected. We want people to know that we're being honest. So, but Jesus, like, chill, just be honest. And that will play out over time and people will know. Her yes is yes. And her no is no. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. We need to make a covenant with our lips.
That's right. Nice. So what I'd love for you guys to do, in the homework, there were several passages from Genesis about people who told lies. So can each of you pick one of those and just summarize the lies that were told? And then I want us to look for a common thread. Cheryl, which one did you pick?
Abraham going into Egypt with his wife and lying that she wasn't his wife, but rather his sister.
Okay. And which one did you pick?
When Isaac wanted to bless Esau, his oldest son, but Rebekah, his wife, stirred up deceit and wanted Jacob to get the blessing. So she cooked the meal for Jacob and put other hair on his arm so that Isaac would bless yep. Jacob instead mm-hmm. of Esau. Mm-hmm.
Good summary. Thank you. So that was a lie of action, mm-hmm. by the way. Abraham told a lie with his mouth. Let's keep going.
I choose Genesis 37, 12 to 36. This is a famous story. Joseph and many colors, and the brothers put him in a pit, and then he gets sold off. But the lie, main lie, there's a lot of lying going on, but the main lie was that they lied to their father and pretended that he had been killed by a wild animal and just destroyed him.
So I didn't do this in the homework, but I'm actually going to do it right now. During the day two, when we talked about murder and anger, I said that the Galatians passage of Galatians 5, 19 to 23 is a good sounding board for the root of our feelings. And in that case, we were talking about the root of our anger. But as you guys were talking about this, I noticed a common thread between all of those lies. And I'm going to say that the Galatians passage is a good sounding board again. So can you tell me what the thread is? So we have Abraham lying about who Sarah was. Rachel.
Rebecca,
lying about deceiving her husband, so that she could arrange the blessing for the son she wanted. And totally forgot what yours is.
Well, Joseph.
Oh, Joseph, thanks.
Lied and said he was killed.
Right. What's the common thread there?
Selfish ambition.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Do you see it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, yours is a little harder. Do you want to flesh it out? Why Abraham lying, saying it was to protect Sarah, was still selfish ambition. I'm putting a lot on you there.
Actually protecting himself, ultimately. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so
nailed it. We find this list in Galatians to be a nice sounding board. And the reason that I think that the Lord led me to this, even though I didn't do it in the homework, is because of where I want to go next. So thank you for agreeing with me that there's a thread there. That just happens to be the thread that is through these Genesis passages that show lies. But certainly we could be driven to lie by hatred, jealousy, you know, and so forth, envy. So, Cheryl, I think that Matthew 23, starting in verse 16, also expands on the text that we're looking at here in 5:33 to 37. So would you read Matthew 23 verses 16 to 22 for us? And then tell me if you notice anything that expands on this passage here.
Woe to you, blind guides, who say, if anyone swears by the temple, it is nothing. But if anyone swears by the gold of the temple, he is bound by his oath. You blind fools, for which is greater, the gold or the temple that has made the gold sacred? And you say, if anyone swears by the altar, it's nothing. But if anyone swears by the gift that is on the altar, he's bound by his oath. You blind men, for which is greater, the gift of the altar that makes the gift sacred? So whoever swears by the altar swears by it and by everything on it. And whoever swears by the temple swears by it and by him who dwells in it. And whoever swears by heaven swears by the throne of God and him who sits upon it.
So I was thinking that that expanded the passage here on oaths a little bit. What do you notice, if anything, about this later in Matthew, what Jesus is saying and expanding a little bit about telling the truth and oaths?
I'm not sure if this is accurate or not, but this just seems absurd. So you don't want to swear by this, so you'll move it over one and do this. So we keep making our own adjustments to what we think is acceptable to God or what will be right. And again, he calls them blind men. So it's just really misguided, superficial distinctions, overlooking the underlying heart of the matter, which is honesty and uprightness.
Yes.
And the reflection of who God is in us.
Right.
Truthful.
So it's like these people that are being addressed in this later Matthew passage. I'm going to give it another modern context. I hate to say it because it upsets me, but I think it upsets the spirit in me. If you say, no, that you are lying to me. And I say, no, I swear to, that's what's happening here. Mm-hmm. Because they're swearing on the highest thing that they can think of so that it elevates the truth. Mm-hmm. We do it. We just do it in a different way. And what he's saying here is just exactly what Cheryl said, which is you're actually diminishing the thing that you are saying is the highest thing and therefore you swear upon it. You're diminishing it with your frivolousness. So we talked about how the oaths had become too complicated. The next thing in the homework that I said before we started this week is I'm not equal to this task. So I'm going to absolutely just aggressively push any listeners, viewers, audience members, readers, and anybody who's processing this to Dietrich Bonhoeffer's work. Does anybody here know who Dietrich Bonhoeffer was?
He was involved in military
things? Yeah. I mean, sort of.
In prison.
At a point. What time did he live through? And what country?
Germany.
When?
World War II.
What was happening?
Nazi concentration camps.
Yeah, genocide. Horrible things. Mm-hmm. Corey Ten Boom is another one that's great to read on this. These are people who actually lived through boots on the ground application of when to tell the truth. And this is slippery for us because we live in a not that situation. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to say it at the beginning and I'm going to say it at the end before I'm going to frame this little bit of our time together by saying we should in no ways say that we get to decide when we tell the truth and when we lie. And Bonhoeffer does so much more with this. Now, I leaned on him heavily as I wrote this study, his book called The Cost of Discipleship. Mm-hmm. In it, he does a little bit with truth and oaths, but he does so much more in his book called Ethics that I just would recommend that anybody who's in a situation where they are struggling with, I think that it's still the right thing to not tell the truth. Bonhoeffer's going to do better than I am any day of the week and 12 times on Sundays. So, but what he recommends is interesting because I do think that the Galatians passage offers a sounding board again. What is the root of the lie you think you need to tell? What is driving that? So as an example, from this World War II environment, people who loved the Lord were hiding Jews. And so when they were asked, are any Jews in your house? They said no, because they were upholding the commandment to value life, prioritize life, that God calls us to do here in the sermon and in the commandments. They were upholding that above telling the truth in that moment. And Bonhoeffer does a great job of helping us understand. Do you have it?
Yeah. Recognize who is calling us to speak and what authorizes us to speak. Recognize the place in which we stand and put the subject we are speaking about into this context.
Mm-hmm. And so obviously it's so complicated. And I don't want to give anybody a permission slip to tell a lie because they think it's the best thing. This is what we call white lies. Mm-hmm. That's not okay. And that is not what Jesus is saying. That's not what I'm saying. But we'd also be remiss if we didn't at least touch on some of these much more complicated issues that those of us in first world, you know, suburban lives don't regularly encounter, but we should be prayerful about, because there are people, I tell you right now, in the world who are facing these things. There are wars and atrocities and genocides happening all the time, sadly. And so while we are not facing that, I would say this is even a call to prayer, that as we read through this and we think through this and we say, you know, Jesus is calling us to do something. It's not just our personal. It's say, strengthen the saints who are in a situation that's so much more dire than I am. Strengthen them, Jesus. So I just wanted to touch on that. It's so complicated, and it hurts my heart to even think about it. Like, I could cry because that's horrifying. But we don't ignore the things that terrorize us. We place them at the foot of the cross, and we receive them, and we understand them, and we know that God is in them. And we take pieces of scripture like this to say, you have a plan, and I know that your word is right. And sometimes I don't understand how to act it out exactly right, but I know that you will sustain me and help me. And so in that way, I didn't do it in this particular segment of the, but I do think the Galatians passage and the rest of scripture tells us how we behave in challenging situations where it's just not obvious what the right thing is to do.
I think there's precedent for this even in scripture. I mean, places where people lied, Rahab, the midwives, and God didn't ever condemn the lie. And so I think there's all those tricky, you know, sort of tricky places. And even Jesus, so the Pharisees always seem to say, what law is higher? Which one's better? Which one's the most? What's the first? That's asked a lot. And I remember the one situation where, should I heal the guy on the Sabbath? Right. They're both laws. And of course you heal them. You lay down the Sabbath rule for the healing. And so I think there is precedence for the kinds of things that you're saying. And I think this is a great place to go, because it talks about flesh and versus spirit, and
yes,
asking those questions helps, unless you want to be, you know, find a reason and an excuse.
No,
for your
I think you're exactly right. But. And to your point, let me just take the two examples. Rahab was promoting peace by trying to avoid the war that was the destruction that was going to happen if there wasn't compliance with God's will in that situation. And the midwife's lie comes against hatred and discord. So we could say, I'm defeating these. So I just think this passage is a good checkpoint. It's a good check-in as we try to figure out the nuances.
And preservation God of life.
God does not leave us without his thoughts on how to do it. He's not looking for us to stumble around in the dark. We just have to find what he's asking of us. We have to find it, and we have to study, and that's why we study the word.
I think overriding too is things done in faith, whether you lie or don't lie. Remember, I don't know if this was true in the Corrie Ten Boom movie where they said, are they under the table? And she said, yes. And we all went, because they were, but they just lifted up the rug and, you know, and said, so just honoring by faith, whether you either God honored it either way, lying and being honest.
Yeah, so. It's tricky, but he equips us. And Amen. And let's be honest, he equips us with the word and the spirit that lives in us. If you are regularly sensitizing yourself to that spirit, he is going to tune you right up when you've gone to the left or to the right.
Thanks again for joining us today on Study with Friends. We hope that you've found some deep truths that will strengthen your walk with Jesus. We here at Study with Friends are modeled more like a small group, and we encourage you to find one through your local church. Make sure to find a church where the Bible is taught in every situation. Study with Friends is a completely donor-supported organization. If you've been blessed by our ministry, would you consider donating? Monthly partnerships are particularly helpful, but no amount is too small. We also love to hear from you. You can stay connected on all the major social media platforms or by email. You can find links to all of these on our website, studywithfriends.org. If you've missed any episodes and are out on the go, be sure to catch the ladies on any of your favorite streaming platforms. Or you can catch the ladies via video on YouTube. We hope you have a great week, and we'll see you next time when we study with friends.